Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray that the ones that Ray had mentioned, that your grace and mercy be shown upon them, and just help us as we go into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Acts 17. One thing that I had never noticed before when I went to denominational church, everybody, and I mean everybody, is religious. There's no doubt about it. Everybody is somewhat religious. We went to Latasha's reunion, and it was up in Knoxville. And if you're driving up in Knoxville, right before you get to the campus, there is a church, there's a church here, there's a church here, and there's just churches. There might be all kinds of different denominations, but there's just churches on every corner. There's even a synagogue up there, I didn't know that. But I mean, huge churches with memberships probably in the thousands. You know, used to, I thought that, you know, unless you went to a Southern Baptist church, you really wasn't religious. But there, everybody is religious in some sort. And there's one thing that they all have in common. They might not all be like the Catholics and do exactly what the Catholics do. They might not be all like the Baptists and do what the Baptists do. But there is one thing, I guarantee you, that they have in common, and that's the term or their thought or their idea on spiritualism. Whenever they think of something spiritual, they're all pretty much similar. You could even find somebody out that don't even go to church, and they'll have the same philosophy on being spiritual. They'll have the same philosophy. Look at in Acts 17, 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, now this last part, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. How clear is that? Does God dwell in temples made with hands? No. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. We took Braden to Bible school. And we thought, you know, she's young. She's probably not going to pick up on everything, but whenever they was teaching in the class, you know what they told her and the whole class? They said, they asked them the question, who lives at church? You know, and they're, who lives? They said, God lives at church. Who lives here? And a lot of people have that philosophy. They have the idea that whenever they walk into these grand cathedrals, they get a spiritual feeling. Because somewhere in the back of their mind, they still think that God lives there. And you see that spiritualism in that. This building is beautiful. It makes me feel good. Therefore, it's a spiritual or a holy place. That's what most people's idea is of spiritualism, is that same type of thinking. You could take somebody that's the vilest sinner that curses every breath, but whenever they walk into a church, you know, they feel different. Why is that? What's the reasoning behind that? And I think it's the whole philosophy or the whole idea of what being spiritual is. That's what they have in their mind, that whenever they walk into those buildings, that they are becoming spiritual. And it happens with a lot of things. They even think that objects that have no life in them are spiritual objects. You'll notice this a lot of times whenever you go into churches. They'll have pictures, like one of the biggest picture probably that you'll see most of the time is Jesus standing at the door knocking. You ever seen that picture? He's standing at the door and he's going to knock. They think that that's somewhat of a spiritual picture. Or they'll have Jesus on the cross, and what's He doing? He's crying, isn't He? That's a spiritual type of object. They think that those objects are spiritual. They have this guy that's picking up his sheep and trying to climb out of a pit. You know, the parable about him leaving the 99 and going and getting the one. They associate spiritualism by the feeling they get when they look at those pictures. That's what they think is spiritualism. Just like they associate the feeling they get when they walk into that building as being spiritual. You see how they do that? And all denominations have basically the same type of philosophy when it comes to that. Me and Tony sat down with some Mormons and we asked them, how would we know that we was going to heaven? And they said, you'll feel it, brother. You'll feel it. That was what they said, how you knew that you were going to heaven. You gotta pray and wait for this feeling to come. Starts in your gut. And he's real descriptive. It starts in your gut and then it just moves all over you. That's what they said. And that was what he was saying. That once you truly believed in Mormonism, you would become that spiritual. And they associated being spiritual with that feeling that overcome you. There's a lot of things that they do that associate spiritualism. I went to a Baptist church, and there's no doubt that they think songs are spiritual. They'll think songs, and even country songs. Me and Latasha was talking last night. Who remembers "Dear Mr. Jesus"? It will tear your heart out. I mean, that's a feeling that you get when you hear this song. It's going to tear your heart out, and they automatically say, that's a spiritual song, brother. It's a spiritual song. They had one, you know, in a country song. We never could think of the name of it, but it's about this little girl, his mom. And mom...
A little girl. That's what it's called.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Her daddy drank all day, but her mommy did drugs.
I've seen that song.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? They automatically take that feeling that they get when they hear those songs and equal it with spiritualism. They automatically do it. And the hymn books most of the times are filled with these songs that take you to that feeling. If I can only hear my mama pray again. You know, those types of songs, they will just tear you up inside. And that's what they do. They automatically relate that to spiritualism. And what I want to do is look at true spiritualism. I want to look at, is it automatically related to emotional status? Is it automatically related to your emotions? You know, and one of the big things in Baptist churches, and I know everybody here has probably heard this, don't do anything that might hinder the service. You ever heard that? That might hinder the service. There's a spiritual thing going on in their mind. And if you do something out of the way that might take somebody's, get them out of that feeling, you've hindered the service. You could have a beautiful service, but a baby poop in its pants, and it hinders the service. You know what I'm saying? It distracts. How did that happen? I mean, you know, it stinks up the whole thing, and it hindered the service. Really? That's no exaggeration. You've seen it. Yeah. Somebody could do something out of the way, and it hindered it. It hindered the service. Yeah, Yun's laughing. Oh, that would just, it would shut it off like a switch. But you see what it was? They was in an emotional state. And now they got out of it and started thinking about other things. That hindered the service. And that's what they, when they was in that state of mind, they was spiritual. And as soon as it's over and they walk away, you know, you just don't feel as spiritual as you once did. And they're always wanting to go back to that. And I'm not trying to attack these people, but that's just the facts. I mean, they will tell you, don't do anything to hinder the service. Don't be playing with the kid in front of you. That's going to hinder it for somebody behind you. They'll say that by doing that, you offend the Holy Spirit. Well, if by you looking away or bending down offends the Holy Spirit and He's that easy to be offended, you offended Him before you got there, I guarantee it. You see what I'm saying? He's not that... Well, it don't work like that at all, but I wouldn't think that it would be that easily offended. Just because you did one little thing out of the ordinary. It just don't, but that's their idea of spiritualism. And I might have told you all before, but one thing that a guy told me before when I learned dispensational truth, and I went to present him to him, he said, "I don't feel the spirit in what you're saying." You know, and at the time I thought, well, maybe he don't. You know, I didn't really understand. You know, am I so wrong? But the reason he didn't feel the spirit is because it was not what he was used to. Anything that goes contrary, and you'll notice this too whenever you talk to a lot of people, anything that goes contrary to what they believe, they automatically think, because it's not a good feeling that they get. I mean, you can't associate you saying you're wrong. They're not going to get a good feeling about it, and they automatically associate it with the devil. So that's what they don't feel the spirit, because it's not, you're not just, you know, jiving with what they're saying.
People want that warm fuzzy feeling.
Yeah. And that warm fuzzy feeling is spiritual. You're spiritual. And the more spiritual a person is, the more fuzzy he feels. And then it will start to flow out in him. Okay. But we're going to look at that. Turn to Romans. Chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. But I want you to see that just because you're emotional about it in a good way does not mean that it's spiritual. It means you're emotional. That's fine. And I'm not saying anything derogatory toward emotional. Your emotions are great. I'm not saying anything negative toward our emotions. But that shouldn't be what guides us. Just like that guy that was talking to me, he knew I was wrong in his mind because of the way he felt. Not because of what I was showing him, because of the way he felt. But it just because you're emotional doesn't mean you're spiritual. Look at Romans 7. We'll look at verse 14. Romans 7 verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Whenever somebody reads the law, do they get that warm fuzzy feeling? You know, for all, you know, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Does anybody feel good when that's read? But it says right that the law is what? Spiritual. So it does not always equal emotional good feelings, does it? The law is spiritual. Let's see what the purpose of the law. Nobody gets a good feeling when the law is read. And this is why. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." That's what the purpose of the law. This spiritual law that he said was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was to show that all were guilty. Not all should get a warm fuzzy feeling. This, you see what I'm saying on that? Okay. It was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But you have to be careful whenever you're thinking like this in spiritual, you're trying to think, what is spiritual? Because we have been in it so long. You know what they would say when they come in this church? Somebody who is spiritual, I'm talking emotional. That is the coldest church I've ever been in my life. That's dead. The spirit ain't there, buddy. You know why? Because we're really not that emotional about it. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. But that's what they would say whenever they walked in. It's just, I just don't feel it. It's just, you know, because we're not singing anything that's going to get you wound up, to get you that to that state of euphoria to where you think that you're being spiritual now. We don't have any pretty paintings of these, you know, descriptive scenes that rips your heart out. We don't have that. We shouldn't have that. But That's what they would say whenever they came in into this church. Turn to Colossians 1. Turn to Colossians 1 and look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul was praying and desiring that these people would be filled with the knowledge of His will, God's will, and that they might have a spiritual understanding. And that's what I want to try to go over real quick, is that spiritual understanding. I wanted you to see right off the bat that emotions does not equal spiritualism. You just can't do it. But how do you get this spiritual understanding? You know, what the law did, you might not have got a feeling from it, but you could understand some things by it. You can understand that we are sinners. That's what you can understand from it. There's no doubt about it. So how do we get this spiritual understanding? How do we get this? Look at verse 10. Well, let me read both of them together now. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what is this? You gaining this ability now, what's it going to do for you? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you get this spiritual understanding, says you're going to walk worthy of the Lord and increasing in every good work into the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what a spiritual understanding will do. It will do that right off the bat. And that's what Paul was praying for these people and desiring it, that they would get that. So how do you get it? How do you get a spiritual understanding? But how, I mean, do you get a spiritual understanding the more you're associated with studying, or do you get a more spiritual understanding whenever you are looking at those pictures that almost make you want to cry? I mean, how do you get it? You can get it from studying. I think that's the way. But there is a method. Do you know there's people that know this book better than anybody probably in here, than anybody in our denominations? They could probably quote you every verse in the Bible. I'm sure there's people like that. Does that person automatically have a spiritual understanding? Right. You know, so just studying it, you might have all of it memorized. You know, you might have every verse. But there is I think, a pretty simple method to becoming truly spiritual with a spiritual understanding. We'll look at that. So, this is how you're going to get it. 2 Timothy. And, you know, I'm sure that everybody in this church here has heard this. But I like going over this because it kind of gives you some reassurance. Whenever you're out in the world and you automatically get labeled as a carnal person because you just don't cry up there enough, you know. You get labeled as carnal. And that's what one of the things I like going over this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 7. It says, consider what I say, this is Paul writing, and the Lord give thee understanding in how many things? All things. So in this all things that the Lord is going to give us understanding in, would it include a spiritual understanding? It would include that, wouldn't it? So Paul says, consider what I say. So basically, so what I'm trying to say is if we start with Paul, start with him, we should gain this spiritual understanding that Paul said that we should be filled with, right? He says he's going to give us understanding in all things. So let's consider what he says. 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 37, says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The very first step in becoming a truly spiritual person is recognizing Pauline authority. That's the very first step. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Then in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if any man claim to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. This, the very first step in truly becoming a spiritual person is recognizing Pauline authority. That's the very first step. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, we'll start in verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that Laodicea, and for as many have not seen my face in the flesh. Have some of these people not seen Paul? Could they tell if he is spiritual or not? Did they know if he wept bitterly whenever he started talking? You know, he didn't know. They didn't know. They'd never seen his face in the flesh. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches and the full assurance of understanding. He said these people, their hearts are knit together in love and understanding. These people probably had a spiritual understanding, didn't they? And full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. One of the things that Paul says that these people did was they acknowledged the mystery. That's the second step in becoming a truly spiritual person. You've got to recognize Pauline authority, and you've got to recognize that God gave him a revelation of the mystery hidden from the foundations of the world. That's one of the things you got to do. And without these two steps, you know what you are? You're not spiritual. Because he says, consider what I say. And without recognizing these two aspects of Paul's ministry, you really don't have a good spiritual understanding. That's just like before I came to the knowledge of dispensational truth, you know what I was? To everybody else in the world, you would think I was somewhat of a spiritual guy. Everybody. You would think, I mean, because I studied a lot, but I didn't recognize these two points. And that's what kept me back. And I always associated spiritualism with emotionalism, and I never could get past that. And recognizing these two points, Paul's authority and the revelation of the mystery, will take you. You're not going to get the warm, fuzzy feeling whenever you first learn. Because you know what it does? This flies in the face of everything that everybody else thinks of what spiritualism is. They don't think it's some information that you know. That's not spiritual. They don't think it's some information that you know. Look at Romans 8. One of the things that understanding these two points is going to do is Romans 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what these people that's all tied up in their emotions are? They're carnally minded. You know what they're looking at? They're looking at the show of the flesh. That's all they're working on the feel of the flesh. That's carnal. If you can't see that's carnal, I don't know how to explain it any better. But it clearly says to be carnally minded is what? Death. You know what these people, I see them and I went through the same thing. It's an emotional roller coaster. That's all it is. It brings death. You might not die physical, but you're just going to die inside because you cannot keep that feeling that you associate with being spiritual. You cannot keep it. And I don't care how many times you think and go back to this place and think about this song or the stuff that you do, you cannot keep that. And that's what they think that they're on this, or they're up, they're down. And it just does not work. I mean, it is. I know people that are my good friends that they're just tore up inside because they feel like a failure. They really do. They just, they go on and on and on, and they always want to get back to that state of euphoria to where they felt like they was serving God the best, and that was when they was feeling the best. And it's just, it's impossible, because you're just, you could be watching a movie, laughing one moment, crying the next, tore up inside. And it just, that's how your emotions work. That's the way they're supposed to work. But it's not, you're not supposed to automatically relate that to spiritualism. It's just not going to work. But to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's what these 2 points of becoming truly spiritual will bring you. You recognize that Paul's the authority for the dispensation of grace. And what he writes are the commandments of the Lord. You recognize that. And you recognize that he was given a mystery hidden from the foundations of the world, and acknowledge that, you will become a truly spiritual person. Actually, you're there. Does it feel good? It really does. I get emotional about this stuff. I really do. But it's not something that's, you know, you're weeping and wailing about, that what everybody else would claim as spiritualism. Okay, but I'll leave you with that one verse, Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.